All right, hey, it's good to be with you guys tonight. It is. I was away last weekend, and I heard it was an awesome time. It was a great time of worship and of just coming to the Lord in a posture of surrender. And I love hearing things like that. I wish I were here, but I wasn't. And, you know, Pastor Sandy last week, and he was preaching on the topic of boldness. And at the end of the message, he said, he felt prompted by God to just say, if you need to come forward, if you need to ask the Lord for boldness, if you need to surrender things like fear, if you want a fresh infilling of the Spirit, then come forward. And apparently over just about 40 people last week and came forward and asked just for that, and they said, Lord, we want more of you, God. We want more. We want to be bold. We want your Spirit. We want more of you. We want to leave these things behind on your altar. We want to step forward in faith and in boldness. And so many people did that, and that's awesome, and I love that, and that really encourages me. So I was like, I'm bummed out that I wasn't here. I'm a little bit jealous, and I'm confessing that sin to you guys this evening. And I just said, I'm never going to leave this place then. I'm just going to sleep here and eat here, and that way I don't miss out on anything. But no, it was good. And myself and Joel Friesen, leading up worship here, we were both away last weekend in Edmonton for this thing called Breakforth. You guys know what Breakforth is? You heard of it before? Blake has heard of it before. Awesome. Thanks, Blake. And it was pretty good weekend. It was good to be away, and there's a lot of world-class speakers there at Breakforth. And it was just a weekend of being inspired and refreshed and just learning new things. And two of these speakers, lo and behold, are speaking on a topic that I get to preach on tonight, and that is creativity. Creativity. And I love it. I'm the creative arts and worship guy, so apparently everyone from the church thinks that I know it all. And I get this whole thing called creativity. It's not really true. Hopefully you're not checking out yet. I promise you it's a pretty decent sermon. So don't check out yet, okay? But yeah, creativity. These two guys, and they were Tim Hughes from a church called Holy Trinity Brompton in London, England. Have you guys heard of the Alpha Course? Alpha. We've done it at our church. Yeah, Nadine, you're doing it right now, right at your school. We're going to launch it again here in a couple weeks. But that's the church. Nikki Gumbel's there. That's the church that launched Alpha. So Tim Hughes was there, and he preached an awesome couple sessions on creativity. And then the other guy was Irwin McManus. And try saying that 10 times fast. Irwin McManus. Irwin McManus. It's hard. Joel and I kept saying it really bad today. But Irwin, and it was awesome. It was a great time. And so I just want to give credit tonight where credit is due as I jump into this message and thank those two men, Tim Hughes and Irwin McManus, for the way that they inspired me and helped me craft these message or this message from their own. And so I want to do that right now and say thank you. Well, hey, we're in the middle of this series, this conversation called The Code, right? It's on our values as a church. And our values are those deeply held core convictions that we have about the way we will go about living like Jesus, growing together, serving God's kingdom, right? That's our purpose as a church. And our values, they shape us. They inform us. They guide us. They tell us how to do this thing called live, grow, serve together. And we have seven values, right? We have seven: authenticity, boldness, creativity, excellence, prayer, word and spirit, and others. We have seven. If I was in better shape tonight, I would run around and touch each of the boxes as I was saying them, but I don't feel like exerting myself because then that would be a shorter sermon. And maybe that's good for some of you, right? But it'll be good. But here we go, creativity. We're going to jump on in. Are you guys good? Can we just go there? Can we jump on in? All right, let's do it with the... It'll be fun. Creativity. Did you know that our God is a creative God? Our God is a creative God. He is creative. Psalm 8 speaks to this. There in those words penned by King David, the famous warrior poet of Scripture, right? We read of the works of God's hands. We read of how God set the heavens and the stars in place, of how he masterfully and artistically created the universe, us, everything. As Colossians 1:16 says, everything that is seen and unseen, God has created it, made it all. He is the creator. And we as his creation, we are his masterpiece. Psalm 8, David says this, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. When I consider the works of your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and stars which you have set in place. What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Creator God, David is saying, you are majestic and awesome, and creation, your creation, it speaks to your majesty, Lord. It speaks to your glory. It speaks to your beauty and your creation. Just like Romans 1:20 says, your creation declares to the world that you, God, are you, that you are God, right? Romans 1:20, let me flip there for a second. Obviously, this wasn't around when David wrote this psalm. But it speaks to the same thing. Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. It's you, God. Your creation speaks to you. It tells the world that you are God. And it's you, God, David says further, who has set the sun, moon, stars in place. It's you who has masterfully created the beauty of mountains and lakes and rivers and oceans. It's you, God, who has just so originally created the millions of living creatures that fill the earth. It's you, God, who has uniquely created all the individual people who you have personally, intentionally, individually created, made, and know. It's you, God, who has created everything from the vastest of galaxies to the most minute of particles and everything in between. And David's saying, God, how majestic are you? How beautiful are you? How creative are you, Lord? Our God's a creative God, friends. He's an inventive God, an original God. And just as he is creative, he has created us to be like he is, creative. Did you catch that? Just as he is creative, he has created us to be like he is, creative. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, I'm going to invite you to flip with me to the first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Joel already read a little bit out of chapter 1, the creation account, and I want us to flip back there tonight. And so if you have your phone or your Bible or a means to follow along, I encourage you to do that tonight. And if you need a Bible, there's some house Bibles at the back. Please make those available to yourself and use those. Or if you don't have a Bible, take one of those home tonight. It's our gift to you. And again, we're going to be picking up at Genesis 1:1. That's on page 1 in those house Bibles. And as you flip there, I'm just going to come right out and say what I believe to be true, what I believe Scripture says is true. And that's this, that not only is our God a creative God, but we too are all creative. We are all creative. You are creative. Now, I know for some of you tonight, you're like, yeah, right, Nick, that's a bunch of nonsense. I don't buy into that at all. I am the least creative person here in this room tonight. And that might be true, right? You might literally be the most least creative person in the room tonight. But in some way, you are still creative. You don't have to be an artist or a musician to be creative. You don't need to be good at singing or good at painting or have an eye for photography or love for modern architecture or art to be considered creative. You know, while art and creativity, these two things, they go hand in hand, right? While art just oozes creativity, well, music, right? Beautiful music, creativity is at its very core. These two things, creativity and artistic ability, they're two separate things. They're not one and the same. And that's the truth. And we'll see this in just a moment, that we're all creative. We've been made by God to make, created by God to create. We might not be all artists, but in our own unique way, we were and are all made creative. For we've each been made by the one true God, the Creator God, in his image and likeness, Scripture says. We've already established this morning that God's creative, right? Sorry, tonight. God is creative. He's the one who has made everything, seen and unseen. He is the creator. And picking up at Genesis 1:1, I want us to read of that tonight. Creation account. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, day one. Day two, God says, let there be a vault between the waters as to separate water from water. And he creates this beautiful thing called sky, and he says it's good. And God says, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear. And it was so. And God calls this dry stuff land and this wet big bodies of water, he calls them seas. And he looks at his creation and says, it's good, right? And God says, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and the trees in the land that bear fruit with seed in it according to their various kinds. He creates fruit trees and pine trees and vegetation of all sorts. And again, he says, it is good. And God said, let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years, and let the lights in the vault of the sky give light on the earth. Here God is creating the sun, the moon, the stars. He's creating galaxies. And again, he says it's good. And then God says, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created every great creature of the sea and every living thing which the water teems and that moves about according to their kinds. He creates different kinds of birds and animals. And again, he says it's good. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God makes these wild animals. Then verse 26, then God said, let us make mankind. Let us, God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Creator God, creative God, let us, God, make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Verse 27, so God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Then jumping over to 31, verse 31, God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. Friends, God is an artist. God, our God, the creator of heaven and earth, he is creative, he is inventive, imaginative, expressive, he is experimental, right? He is original, he is an artist, right? Can you see that picture being painted before us in Genesis of God, this artist, this divine artist? He's just painting the sky, he's calling things to be, and they're becoming, and they're just out of nothing, right? Out of something that was not, he is just creatively creating. He's an artist. And you and I, the Bible says, right here in Genesis, we have been made in his image and in his likeness, just like him, created to create. And not only that, but we see also here in Genesis 1 that creation is good. Creativity is good, right? Verse 31, and it was very good. At the culmination, when God creates man in his image, he says, it is very good. We have been made in God's image to be this good thing called creative. We've been made in his image to do this thing, this good thing called creativity. And you and I, we have been made that way for a purpose. We've been made in God's image in order that we would reflect his image, his nature, his character to the world. Imago Dei, this is called. Can you guys say that with me? Imago Dei. Imago Dei. It's Latin. Image of God. Imago Dei. We have been created in the image of God in order that we might display to the world the image of God. We might display to the world who God is, his character, his nature, his attributes. That's our purpose, to be a mirror, to show the world who God is through our very lives. And whether you believe it or not tonight, you are creative. I'll say it again and again and again. You're creative. You have within you an extraordinary, unlimited, God-given, God-designed potential to create and invent and dream of things that are not yet. You have been made by God, designed to design, created to create, made to make. This is the way that you've been created. And regardless of your artistic or musical abilities, or lack thereof, maybe for some of you, you are creative. You just don't know it. Maybe you just don't believe it. Maybe you've bought into the lie that you are not creative. But that's what it is. That's a lie, because you've been made in the image and likeness of God. You've been made to reflect the image of God to the world. And one facet of that, one way that we do that, is by living out creatively. But I'm not musical, you might say. But I'm not good at drawing or painting or molding or sculpting, you might say, but I don't like art. Maybe you're saying, I don't like that new music they play at church and call worship. Or maybe you're saying, I don't like that old music they used to play in church and call worship, right? I don't like arts and crafts and stuff like that. Yet I'll say, you are still creative, because you've been made in the image and likeness of God. It's true that art and creativity go hand in hand, right? It's true. We see that so clearly. It's easy to spot that creativity in art. creativity and music, creativity and poetry or dance or architecture, things like that, film, we see that these things go hand in hand, right? They ooze creativity out of them. It's easy to spot creativity in those things that catch our eye, that catch our attention, those things that make an impression on us because of their beauty, their originality, their creativity. And we see this in Scripture. We see that creativity in the arts, that these things are connected to one another somehow. In Exodus 31, we're told a story of a guy named Bezalel. If you got your Bibles, flip there with me. Exodus 31, starting at verse 1. And we're told in Scripture that he was gifted and he was also empowered by the Holy Spirit in craftsmanship. He was gifted in woodworking and in gem cutting and goldsmithing. He was creative and he was also an artist. He was creative, made in the image and likeness of God, creative, and he was also an artist. Exodus 31, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and all kinds of skills, to make artistic design for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. Moreover, I have appointed Aholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I've given ability to all the skilled workers to make everything I've commanded you." God used this guy named Bezalel, along with Aholiab and these other skilled men, to use their God-given creativity as well as their artistic abilities to design for the Lord the tabernacle, right? The dwelling place of Yahweh. And God uses them, their creativity and their artistic abilities, to fashion and to design and build this beautiful tabernacle, to build the Ark of the Covenant, to build the altar, to design the ephod and the breastpiece, right? And all the other tools that they would use in the sacrificing of animals and in worship to God. You know, aside from all the blood and guts, I think that the tabernacle would have been a beautiful place. I really do, right? It would have been bloody, but it would have been beautiful. It would have just oozed creativity. And we see that God uses these men who are creative and also artistic to design this place, the tabernacle, that communicates to the tribe of Israel, to the nation of Israel, that this is God's dwelling place and that God is a creative God. He's a beautiful God. And even that building would have expressed that. And we've got people like this in our church, right? We have people that are creative and also artistic. Joel was up here leading worship with his team. We had this morning, we had a guy named Eric Prue, and he's a woodworker, and he makes beautiful pieces of art out of wood. And they're worth tens of thousands of dollars, this guy. And he was here this morning, and he had some on display. We also have other painters and poets and other kinds of artists, men and women who are creative, by God, right? Made in his image, creative, and also gifted artistically. We have these people in our church, and we need to celebrate this. We need to foster this in our church. But we also have many other people who are just as creative, yet not as artistic. Creativity is not only for the artists. It's not only for artists. There's another story in Scripture. And that's in Genesis chapter 4. Would you guys flip there? Genesis chapter 4. And it's a story that I want to draw our attention to, a story of three brothers, all equally creative, yet unequally artistic, it would seem. Maybe unequally musical or artsy, right? But all equally creative. In Genesis chapter 4, we read of these three brothers, Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain. And, you know, this passage talks about this guy named Jubal. Right, he's the father of all stringed instruments and pipes, it says. This guy invented the guitar. Isn't that sweet? Jubal, the inventor of the guitar. Like, that's awesome. The Bible says he also created the pipe. He invents pipes, not the smoking, right? That's not the smoking pipes. That was Gandalf. He created those. But the musical pipes, right, like a clarinet, like a wind instrument, maybe a flute or a trumpet, who knows? But this guy creates these things, Jubal. He is creative, made in the image and likeness of God as creative, but he's also artistic. He's also musical. And we see these two things happen, right? And so he invents, he creates new things that were never before. He makes the guitar, he invents the wind instrument. And that's awesome, and because of him, we have beautiful music today. Beautiful music. But he also has two brothers. And Scripture, while it talks about how they were creative, it doesn't say anything about them being musical. It doesn't say anything about them being artistic. He had one brother named Jabal, right? How confusing is that? Jubal and Jabal. If your mom's calling you for dinner, I bet both will come all the time. But anyways, Jabal. Jabal is the Scripture says that he is the father of all those who live in tents. He created the tent, right? He created the mobile home. This guy's awesome. No longer do we have to live in caves or under trees or in holes in the ground, but we get to live in tents and in homes because he invented the tent, Scripture says. He's the father of those who live in tents. He's also the father of those who raise livestock, Scripture says. He invented farming. He invents the tent. The Scripture doesn't say that he's musical, that he's artistic, but he is creative, and he creates something new. He invented something that was not yet because he tapped into that creative side. Then he also has a brother named Tubal-Cain. Tubal-Cain, and he's the bad guy in the Noah movie, right? Just kidding. That actually, Scripture doesn't talk about that. Hollywood just likes to add in a whole bunch of extra stuff just to make money. But the Bible doesn't say that. Anyways, Tubal-Cain. And the Bible says that he was another inventor. He was another creative man. And he fashioned tools out of bronze and iron. He was a metal worker. He made tools. He invented these things, probably because he did other stuff, right? And he needed tools. Maybe he was a hunter, and he's like, I want to kill that pig, but I don't have a knife, so maybe I'll just go and invent one. Or maybe he was a farmer, and he's like, I'm tired of using my hands to dig holes. I'll invent this thing called the shovel. Yeah, maybe a plow, right? He invents tools out of bronze and iron. Maybe he was a builder, and he's like, I need to invent the hammer in order to make building much easier. I'm tired of using a rock to, like, knock nails in, so let's build a hammer. More leverage, it's awesome. So he invents these things. He's creative. But the Bible does not say he's artistic. It doesn't say that he's musical. Do you see the difference? There's God-given creativity, then there's also artistic ability. Do you see the difference, friends? You know, just think, what if Jabal or Tubal-Cain kind of bought into that lie that they weren't creative? What if they refused to create? Neglected to live out Imago Dei because they said, I'm not creative, that's just for Jubal. Right? Look at him. He's musical. He's got all the ladies. He's playing on his six-string lyre, you know? He invents the guitar, and he's serenading all these women. But they're like, no, we're going to invent too. We're going to be creative, even though we're not musical or artistic. And so they create. But what if they didn't? What if they refused to create? Maybe we wouldn't have a tent today. How would you go camping? Maybe we wouldn't have a house today. Where would you live? Maybe we wouldn't have a hammer. So how would you hang a picture of your family in your house without a hammer? Right? These men, by being creative, by living out their God-given creativity, they have changed the course of humanity forever. It's pretty important stuff. You don't need to be musical to be creative. It's a common lie that I think many of us believe. You say, I'm not creative. I'm not inventive, but that's not true. It's not true. Not everyone is an artist, but everyone is creative in their own unique way because we've been made in the image and likeness of our creative creator God. And he's made you to make, designed you to design, invented you to invent, created you to create. So what then is creativity? What is it? Right? If it's not synonymous with arts and crafts, if they're not one and the same, they're kind of different things, what is creativity? Surely creativity includes the arts and the music and those other things, but what is it in and of itself? How do we define it? In my own kind of best feeble attempt to define it, this is what I think creativity is, friends. Creativity is that thing that rises up within us, refusing to settle for the obvious answer. I think creativity is that thing in us that searches for new solutions. It's that thing that rises up within us, searching for new ways to solve problems, searches for new routes to get about. That's creativity. I think creativity is the determination to find the best solution. It's not about giving ourselves over to status quo. It's not about being dull, dry, or dead. It's not about being shaped by others, but about living out Imago Dei, the image of God. We are made in the image and likeness of the creative Creator God. We need to live that out. Creativity is about being original. It's about communicating the truth of who God is through our lives, through our work, through our worship. We don't need to be artsy to be creative. You know, creativity is when that mom sews her kids' costumes and says, hey, go have fun, unleash your imaginations, try new things, explore and invent. Creativity is seen in the banker who comes up with a new solution to get a young family into their first home. Creativity is seen in the person who invents a new cutting-edge, world-first system for drilling and extracting oil out of the earth. Creativity is seen in the person who takes a risk to sell a new product, or it's seen in that person who tries a new method to reach out to a troubled teen. Creativity is seen in the person who discovers a new solution to a persisting problem at work. Creativity is seen in that person who starts up like a Starbucks coffee shop, Bible study with non-Christian friends. Maybe that person who does Alpha at their high school. That's being creative. You're not being artsy. You don't have to be musical to be creative, friends. We can all be creative. We have that potential within us. We've all been made in the image and likeness of God. And yet so many of us aren't living life creatively. We're living in black and white, not in color. Maybe we don't believe that we're creative. And I just think that's sad. So three questions that I want to ask and hopefully answer tonight for us are this. Number one, what's holding us back from being creative? Maybe make it more personal. What's holding you back from being creative? What's hindering you? What's stopping you from living out Imago Dei in your life through that facet called creativity? Second question, how do we grow in this? How do we grow in creativity as individuals? How do we grow in this in our own lives? How do we foster creativity in our lives? And then number three, why is it so important to be creative? Why? Why is it so important to be creative? I want to tell you guys a story. I think I'm a pretty creative guy. You know, again, I'm the pastor of Creative Arts and Worship. I love that title. Every time it gets me. I like to think I was a pretty creative kid, too. And I can remember one summer in particular, my dad was living here in Airdrie, Alberta. My family's living in BC. Dad had gotten a new job, and it was kind of like a weird transition, liminal time, where we were just waiting to move out to be as a full family again. And so it was summertime, and us kids were out of school, and my mom was working. And so we're like trying to find new and creative ways to have fun, right? It's summertime. We want to have fun. So we're like, let's invent new games. And I'm about 8 or 9, my brother kind of 10 or 11, my sister 12, 13. And we decide to go and invent these new ways of having fun. So the first game we invented was we're going to go and jump off of our patio onto the trampoline below. And the patio was pretty tall. It was like 15 feet in the air. And I'm 8. Like, I'm a pretty little kid. And I'm going to jump off of my patio onto the trampoline below. And so I can remember being so small that I actually had to drag my kitchen chair across the like living room out onto the patio and use the chair to climb up and over the railing because I couldn't get over it otherwise. And I'm hanging on. I'm looking down. And I'm not like a big fan of heights. Maybe it's because of this experience, but I don't even like jumping off of like diving boards at the swimming pool. Like I don't like falling. I don't mind being up high, but falling, that feeling just freaks me out. And so I remember standing there and I'm thinking, my brother just jumped, so maybe I should jump too. So I decided to jump. And midair, I had this creative thought of like, I don't want to bounce really high, so I'll do like that cool trampoline stop thing when I hit the trampoline, right? Like the bicycle move, and it stops you immediately. And so I did that as soon as I hit, and I got launched, and I flew off the trampoline, and I kind of tweaked my neck and hurt my back. And I'm like, dude, to my brother, never again. No way. That was scary. Let's find something else to do. So we decide to do something else. We came up with another creative solution to fill our time. And our backyard was half grass and half dirt at the time. And we decided to go into this little corner of the backyard where the wall meets the wall, and there's kind of like a little alcove. We thought we were like being secretive and hidden, and we would dig holes in the backyard, and we would do what my dad did when we went camping. We thought, well, let's just build fires. Let's build fires in our backyard. So we took a bunch of newspaper, and we put it into this hole we built right beside the house and lit it on fire. And built fires, right? We thought, this is awesome. We're having so much fun. And maybe we're melting the siding of the house. I don't know. Probably did a little bit of damage. But we thought, let's have a more fun. Let's take this newspaper and see all that dead grass in the backyard. Let's pick it and let's put it in the newspaper and roll it into like these big cool cigar things and let's light those on fire and smoke them, right? And so we had a dog, and thinking back, I'm like, all that brown grass was probably because she peed on it. But we take this grass anyways, we pick it, we put it into the paper, and we roll it up, we light it on fire, and we start smoking it. And I remember my throat was just burning, and my eyes were burning and hurting so bad, and I'm coughing and gagging, and I'm like, this is the worst decision ever. And so we're just done, right? I'm like, no way. So let's go to the front yard. So go to the front yard. My brother has this great idea to create a mini golf course in the front yard. So we build this mini golf course with a couple like little cups or something for putting the balls in. And my brother's like, I get to go first, and I get to use dad's real golf clubs. I'm like, okay, cool. So he gets my dad's real golf clubs, and we're sitting there, and he starts putting, and he does the first course. I guess he always got to go first, right? So as the little brother, I'm like, man, I'm going to show you up. I'm going to do so much better than you. So I get my dad's golf club, and here I am pridefully like winding up, right? I'm like, here we go. And I just smack ball, and I smash it, and it shanks to the left and goes straight in through mom and dad's side window of the house. First shot, it was awesome. Broke a window. So like, man, our creativity is really bad. We're having bad luck outside. Let's go inside. So we go inside, and for some reason, we had this game where we were like running around the island in the kitchen. We had this little island there. We're running around it. My sister was involved in this game. And she was the oldest, and she was behind my brother and I. And we're running in circles, and she's chasing us. And for some reason, she had a big metal spoon in her hand. I don't know why, but she had a big metal spoon in her hand. And maybe she was mad at us. That's why we were running away from her. But I remember her throwing it through the air. And as soon as she throws it, my brother and I kind of turn around the island and get out of the way. And this spoon flies kind of out of her hand, and it smashes through the front of the oven, the stove, breaking that glass that's on the front of the oven, shattering it into a bunch of pieces. This all happened within like days, a couple days. We just had bad luck. So my mom came home. She had to find out a way to creatively discipline us, right? And then my mom and dad had to find creative ways to pay back broken windows and buy a new oven door. Those were fun times. But there's something, you know, I tell you that story, there's something so beautiful and inspiring about the creativity of kids, right? There really is. That they have no inhibitions, no rules, no filters. They don't overanalyze. They just go for it. They're like, man, I'm going to be creative. And they don't give their creativity a second thought. They do it. And as a dad, I love it. And it also is kind of scary at times, because it is frustrating when my son decides to explore and experiment and do new things that I think are kind of scary or detrimental to his safety. But kids are fearless, that they're not embarrassed or afraid of trying new things. And yet somewhere along the way, we lose that. Somewhere along the way, most of us, if not all of us, we kind of lose that purity, that creativity that we had as kids. We lose it, and it's gone. And maybe it's because we had a time where we tried to be creative, and it backfired on us. Maybe we had a time where we tried to be creative, and somebody just said, hey, man, that picture of a dog actually looks like a bent-over broken tree that should never, ever be painted again. And you're like, that ruined me. That wrecked me, and I was so hurt because of that. Maybe you had your creativity squelched by someone. Maybe you have low self-esteem, and you're kind of thinking, I'm not creative. I don't have any good ideas. My ideas are all bad. They're awful. But we lose that somewhere along the way. And you believe into the lie that you're not creative. But that is a lie, because the truth is that you've been made in the image and likeness of God, made to create, made to dream and to design and invent and be free. So what is it? What holds us back from being creative? What's hindering you today, tonight, from being creative, from unleashing creativity, your imagination, from living out Imago Dei? What's stopping you? Is it fear? Is it past hurts? Is it failure? Is it low self-esteem? Is it maybe because your passion, your desire to be creative was squelched one day? What is it? What's holding you back from being creative? What's stopping you from reflecting God's nature and character to the world through creativity? We sang about surrender tonight, right? I surrender. Here I am, down on my knees again, surrendering all. We sang that. I think tonight God wants us to surrender to him whatever it is that's holding us back from being creative. To surrender it to him. I think he wants us to do that tonight. And I want you to name it. Maybe it is fear. Maybe you're afraid. Maybe it is low self-esteem. You don't believe in yourself. Maybe you've bought into the lie that you're not creative. Name that and then give it over to the Lord. God, I give it to you. I surrender it to you. I confess that I've believed that lie that I'm not a creative person. And I give it over to you. I surrender it to you. What's holding you back from being creative? Give it to the Lord. Surrender all. Second question is how can we grow in our creativity? How can we grow in this thing called creativity? And I'm stealing these 4 points from Tim Hughes. Again, I want to give him credit for this. But it's 4 E's, right? You got to love alliteration. It's very 90s. I love it. But it's 4 E's. Explore, express, experiment, and evaluate. 4 E's of how we can grow in our creativity. The first is explore. This is kind of the get your feet wet stage. Explore, try new things. We need to investigate. We need to examine and research. We need to read God's word. Well, God, what do you have to say about creativity? We need to ask for inspiration. God, how would you inspire me to creative? It's the explore stage. You know, how many times in scripture do we see that word new, right? God says, see, I'm doing a new thing. And the Psalms we read, sing to the Lord a new song. We need to explore and try new things. Maybe you've done this, maybe never done this creativity thing before. So would you start? Would you explore? Would you try something new and different for the glory of God? Maybe you need to try a new spiritual discipline. Maybe that'll kickstart your creativity. Maybe you need to try listening to new music. I don't know what it is for you, but I would encourage you to explore. If you want to grow in this, we should be growing in this. Let's explore. The second E is express. You know, we're called as Christians to express our heart and to express our feelings and our thoughts, not just to go through life dull, dry, or dead, void of those expressions, void of passion and of heart. But we're called, friends, to live like Jesus, right? To pursue him with passion, with creativity. That's our purpose. Live like Jesus, grow together, serve his kingdom, right? Did you guys know that Jesus was creative? Did you know that? Jesus was creative. He was, and not just because he was a carpenter, right? I made a really bad joke today. I'll do it again. But maybe Jesus was such a bad carpenter that that's why he tried out the Messiah thing, right? Just kidding. Just kidding. He was meant to be the Messiah. But we don't know. We don't know if he was a good carpenter or not. But we do know that he was creative. Jesus was creative. Just look at the many parables and stories that he told, right? Never one is the same. He told stories. He was a storyteller. He loved preaching and teaching and sharing truths about the kingdom of God and about himself through story. He was creative. Look at the way that he responds to the Pharisees, right? They try to ask him questions. They try to trip him up and confuse him. They try to get him to confess blasphemy. And Jesus just creatively asks questions in return. He silences them with his answers. He's creative. Look at the way that he heals people. Jesus had no one set formula for healing. Did you know that? Like for one instance, right? A guy is blind and Jesus goes, oh, I'll just make mud out of my own spit and just slap it in the dude's eyes and then he's not blind anymore. Or what about the girl who is dead, right? Jesus comes to her and he just says, Talitha kum, wake up, little girl. And she raises from the dead. Then he goes over and there's a centurion, a Roman centurion. The Roman guy goes, I have this servant who's sick and I know about authority. And Jesus, I know you have authority to heal. So if you say he'll be healed, he will be healed. So Jesus says, okay, he will be healed. And boom, miles away, the guy who is sick and dying, he is healed. He's healed. And then what about the guy with leprosy? Right, Jesus, a rabbi, he touches this guy. He touches him, something unheard of in those times. He touches the man with leprosy and he's healed. Jesus was creative. And then what about walking on water, right? Pastor Sandy preached on that a little bit last week about walking on water, Jesus in the water, calling Peter out to him. But Jesus had options, right? If you think of that story, the disciples kind of leave Jesus on the one shore and they start going away to the other. And Jesus had options. He could have walked around. He could have walked around the lake. It's a big lake, but he could have walked around. Jesus could have gotten in a boat with other people and taken the boat across. Jesus could have pulled a Michael Phelps and swam across, right? But no, he chooses to walk across on the water. Jesus was creative. Jesus is creator, Scripture says. And we've been called to live like Jesus, to live out Imago Dei, the image of God, reflecting his character and nature. And part of that includes living out creatively. We need to express heart and passion. Another one is experiment, right? We need to experiment. This is different from exploring. Exploring is getting our feet wet. Experimenting is trying new things in the thick of it. I think experimenting includes not putting up filters, not saying, I've tried that before and it didn't work out. Yeah, but maybe this time it will work. It's about getting rid of those inhibitions and those filters. You know, in this experiment stage, we need to get rid of overanalyzing everything that we do or don't do. We need to be intentional in this stage to actually experiment, to try new things. We need to get rid of all inhibitions, and we need to stop holding on to the past so tightly. We need to stop doing that. You know, but you kind of say, but it worked back then when I've done it all those times. Yeah, but maybe it'll work better doing it this way. Yeah, but it worked when I did it all those other times before, and I feel really comfortable doing it that way. Yeah, but maybe there's a better way. Oh, maybe there is a better way. If we would just stop holding on to the past so tightly and experiment and try new things, friends, there could be way better solutions to existing problems. There could be more and more creativity being expressed through the church. The final E is evaluate. Evaluate. Don't be afraid to refine. When you're growing in creativity, trying to grow, don't be afraid to refine. And don't be afraid to ask for honest feedback. You know, I'd be like, hey, Joel, can you hold me accountable as I grow in creativity? And he goes, sure. And he says, hey, Nick, by the way, when you painted your face blue, that really wasn't a good idea. I'm like, oh, okay, great. He's like, yeah, you look too much like Braveheart. I'm like, all right, I didn't want to do that. But I did want to grow my creativity. So hold each other accountable, right? Hold each other accountable. Don't be afraid to evaluate. Don't be afraid to refine and ask for feedback. We need to grow in our creativity. And these are some ways we can do that, by exploring, expressing, experimenting, and evaluating. The final question I want to kind of ask and try to answer tonight is this. Why is creativity so important? It's a value of ours, right? We think it's important as a church. We say it is important, but why? Why is creativity so important? And I know I've said this before, but I'll say it again tonight. The church is called to and created to reflect the image of God to the world, Imago Dei. We're made in the image of God for a purpose, that we would reflect to the world the nature, the character, the heart, the attributes of God to the world. And one way we do this is through creativity, by living out creatively. God's created us to create, to communicate through our creativity the depth and breadth of who he is, of his love, of his faithfulness, his awesomeness, his holiness, his creativity. And we can do this if we would intentionally reflect his image to the world through that one way of being creative. You know, finally, we're also called to be salt and light, right? We are. We're called to be salt and light. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, starting at verse 13, Jesus says these words, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world," Jesus says. "A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." We're called to be salt and light. Salt and light. Salt not only to preserve food from going bad, but to bring taste to a tasteless world. A dull, dry, dead world. We're called to be salt, to bring flavor through our creativity to a dull world. And then we're called to be light, to be a beacon of hope, a light in the darkness, a light in dark times. We, the church, we are to be what the world looks to, friends. We are to be that thing that draws the attention of the world into us. We are to be the focal point for the world. But how can we do that if we're just dull, dry, dead? We're not exciting, we're not alive, we're not new, we're not creative. You know, as the church, we're to be the ones who set culture. Really, we are, not the ones who are being set by the world's culture. You know, the church used to be on the cutting edge of the arts. They used to have all the best music, all the best art. They really did. And we've lost that territory, but I think, why? Let's regain that ground that we've lost. Let's be known for our beauty. Let's be known for our creativity. Let's be known for the newness of life that we have in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let's use our imaginations for the glory of God. Let's create and come up with original ideas that further communicate to the world the nature and character of our God, and all for His glory, right? It's all for His glory. You know, creativity really does communicate. It speaks. There's that saying that great art has great power. I'm going over a couple statistics or hearing a couple thoughts, kind of comical, but very cool. Did you know that cows produce more milk when they listen to good music? Chickens produce more eggs when they listen to music. Babies, when they're in the incubation stage in the hospital, if they're newbies or whatever, they are actually on average 12 days released earlier than those babies because they're listening to soothing music. There's great power in great art and music and creativity, all those things that they communicate, they speak powerfully of our creative God. They do. If we would use them for God's glory, if we would live out Imago Dei in our lives. So let's be creative, amen? Let's be creative people. Let's live like Jesus, grow together, serve His kingdom creatively. All for God's glory. All for God's glory. Let's worship.